Amen. 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 Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody here. Good morning, everybody on Facebook. Good morning, everybody on YouTube. Good morning to anybody that's going to watch this tape a couple months from now. Amen? Even if it's at night. Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen? Amen. For those of you who are watching us online, this is Taylor's Tabernacle. We are located in West Philadelphia on the corner of 61st and Osage. And our pastor is Jonathan E. Ford. And we are a Bible based church. Amen. Amen. The preached word of God, hallelujah, is what you will hear. Amen. Amen. This is a special Sunday where after the word, we are going to honor our youth with the Celeste Williams scholarships for those who have achieved. And we are having the youth actively participate in this morning's service. Amen. Amen. So with that, we're going to start off with our brother Joshua Curitan, who is going to open us up in prayer. Amen.
Dear God, thank you for this day. I pray that you will bless the sermon and that you will help it be delivered to the audience and that you will use your Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us towards you. And I pray that Wiley and the Celeste Williams participants will do well and that they'll continue to succeed in their educational journeys and adventures. And I pray these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. I hope everybody can hear me. I hope everybody who's watching out there can hear me. Next, we're going to have our brother Jackson Ford. He's going to be reading our scripture this morning. He's going to be coming out of the book of Proverbs, the 22nd chapter.
I'm reading Proverbs 22:6, King James Version. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. May the Lord add a blessing to his name.
Amen. Amen. Isn't the word simple sometimes? Train up a child in what? The way they should go. Amen. Just that simple word says it all. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, before I bring up our pastor, our sister Leah Reed is going to come up and is going to bring us a solo. Amen. So we get to be blessed with her voice. And then with the word of God. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Good morning. So glad to be with you all once again. and celebrating those youth who've made those accomplishments. But my encouragement to you is to know that always look to God, because he's the one that's always going to make ways out of no way, help you to continue to make those accomplishments. Even as you continually grow and move up in life, just know that he's the one that's opening the doors that you may be able to go through. So he made a way. Standing here, not knowing how we'll get through this test, but holding on to faith, you know that nothing can catch you by surprise. You've got this figured out, and you're watching us now. But when it looks as if we can't win, you wrap us in your arms and step in. And everything we need you supply. You got this in control. And now we know that you made a way. When our backs were against the wall, and it looked as if it was over, Lord, you made a way. And we're standing here only because you made a way. And now we're here, looking back on where we've come from, it's because of you and nothing we've done to deserve the love and mercy you've shown. But your grace was strong enough to pick us up, because you made a way. When our backs were against the wall, and it looked as if it was over, Lord, you made a way. And we're standing here only because you made a way. Oh, 'cause you moved mountains. You caused the walls to fall with your power. Perform miracles. There is nothing that's impossible. And we're standing here only because you move a mountain and you cause the walls to fall with your power. Perform miracles. There is nothing that's impossible. And we're standing here only because you move mountains. You cause the world to fall with your power. Perform miracles. There is nothing that's impossible. And we're standing here only because you made a way. And we're standing here only because you made a way. And you're standing here only because he made a way. And we're standing here only because you made a way. And we're standing here only because you made a way. Thank you.
Why not praise him? Why not, if he made a way for you, if he made a way for you, why don't you praise him? Not your mama praise him, not your grandfather praise him, but if God made a way for you, open your mouth, clap your hands. Oh my goodness, I know he made a way for me. I wouldn't have been here. But the Lord made a way. My Bible said with every temptation, he'll make a way of escape. Oh my goodness. He made a way. He made a way. I see Sister Roe here. Roe's testimony is that he makes ways out of no ways. Even if you don't know her name, you know that's her testimony. That he made a way for me. Truth be told, he made a way not only for me, but he made a way for my family. Made a way for my children, grandchildren, cousins, nephews. He made a way for a couple jokers, and I don't even know them. But he still made a way. Oh, bless his name forever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. We count it not robbery to come into the house of the Lord and to lift his name. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is power unto salvation unto those that believe. Amen. God bless you and thank you again. What a warm audience. Welcome to all of you that are here joining us in the sanctuary. Those of you that are streaming online, thank you for coming in virtually. It's our Celeste Williams Scholarship Fund. Today we're celebrating all of our scholars, all of our students, all of the hard work they put in last year. Come on, let's celebrate our young people. Amen. Thank God for all the homework assignments they did, all the tests they took and passed. Amen. All the science projects, all of the social studies, all of the history reports they wrote. Or their parents wrote. Somebody wrote it. They put their name on it, but somebody wrote it. Lord God, help Jesus. But we thank God for our scholars. We just want to honor them this Sunday and encourage them for the upcoming school year. Amen. So thank God for you. Also, just as a way of reminder, I don't want to forget, for all of our water baptism candidates, I do have your t-shirts. Failed to get them out to you on last Sunday, but please see me, my pastor, A. Tyrone. We have them. We want to make sure you get your water baptism t-shirts. Amen. The great thing about today is that we are honoring all of our youth and our Celeste Williams Scholarship recipients. That's the great part of the day. The downside on the day is, on this day, I'm always given specific instructions, and they're very simple. Pastor, you got 15 minutes. 15 minutes, you got to pray, preach, and power down. Because after that, we got to switch over to the other half of the program. And so while you're feeling cool and relaxed, I am feeling a bit of consternation because I got to get it done in 15 minutes. But I'm also reminded that I got a whole lot of minutes in the bank from the past month or two. So you may have given me 15 minutes, but I got at least another half an hour in the bank that I can draw. So this is like a regular Sunday to me then. Hey, if you have your Bibles, go to Joshua, the very first book. This Sunday, I'm going to talk to you about God's keys to success. God's keys to success, right? We're celebrating all of our students who are committing themselves to academic coursework, because we believe that education provides a foundation
and groundwork for success in this life. But in addition to that, and even above that, out of the Word of God, God Himself has given us keys to success. Keys to success. And if you'll turn with me to the book of Joshua in the very first chapter, there we will find God's keys to success. Let's stay in the Old Testament and add to the witness. Out of the book of Jeremiah 29:11, one of my favorite verses. If you're here this Sunday and you're in need a Bible and you don't have a Bible, you don't have it on your phone electronically, slip your hands up in the air. We do have Bibles available for you. If you're anyone needing a Bible, can someone bring me up a Bible from the back? So glad for our sister Peaches. She's here. She serves on our scholarship committee. Thank God for her. All the wisdom that she brings to our program, giving us sustainability. If you have your Bible, I'm going to ask you to join with me in standing. One of the first things they teach you in preaching class, got to stand up before the people, right? That way we can amplify the Word of God. There in the book of Joshua, begins by saying, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. Amen. While I'm not going to work it out in this particular sermon or in this particular time we have together, but here is an example of promotion from God. Know what he was? He was Moses' assistant, right? And just like that, God elevates him. Amen. Verse 2, let me have it. It says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. And every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land, the Hittites, and all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. And no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide an inheritance of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Verse 9, final verse. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. Come on, let's add to the witness out of Jeremiah. I know many of you may already know it by heart, but let's look at it to refresh ourselves, our memory, our thoughts. So the weeping prophet, speaking on God's behalf says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Amen. Raise your hand if you have a future and a hope. Amen. Thank God for it, right? That's how you get up every morning. That's what gets you up. That's what keeps you going, knowing that God has given you a future and a hope. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for this precious moment that we have together to huddle around the Word of God, to come as the children of God, to sit at the table and to have you break the bread of life, that we may hear and eat and be strengthened and encouraged thereby. So give us ears to hear and give us hearts to obey, and cause us to lay hold to your keys of success, that we might do them and reap the benefits to our own selves and to our families, that we may prosper and have good success. This we ask in the name of your beloved Son, the Christ. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. You may be seated upstairs in the overflow. We thank God for you that are up there, you that are joining us online. I think we have this up on the board for your viewing, but you may be familiar with it. Success is to be measured not so much by the position one has reached in life, as by the obstacles he or she has overcome in trying to succeed. Success is to be measured not so much by the position that one has reached in life, but more so by the obstacles he or she has overcome in trying to succeed. Amen. And if you're familiar with that, you know that quote is given to us by Booker T. Washington. This morning, God's keys to success. And really what I want to do, I'm just going to look at verses 8 and 9. We started at verse 1 just to give you a context and some background. Familiar story, familiar passage. Transition from one leader to next. Moses to Joshua. Now you see him, this young man coming into his own after serving years as the assistant in the background, carrying Moses' stick, bringing him bread, bringing him food, washing his hand, massaging his feet at night. Everyone else had gone back. His job was to take care of Moses and get things ready for the next service, the next thing, whatever Moses needed. Now, God has elevated to him, and now he's becoming God's point man as he leads Israel into the promised land. And as he goes in, God gives him some keys to success. Because I've already promised Moses the land. Okay? So that's not the issue anymore. What you need now, you have an assignment and a mission in front of you. You have a future in front of you. Right? All you need now are some keys to ensure your success. Okay? And here they are. If you have your Bible, I'm looking at verse 8. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth." Okay? The first key is to always speak the truth. God's word is true. Amen? God's word is true. The Ephesian writer tells us out of the fourth chapter, speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, even Christ. Okay? The first key to success is to tell the truth. Right? Help me preach. Tell somebody sitting next to you, say, just tell the truth. Right? I was looking up quotes. Another famous quote says, chapter 1 in the book of wisdom is honesty. Very first chapter in the book of wisdom is honesty. Okay? And so as we're graduating, we're moving on in the life, we're going into college, we're starting our careers, we're getting our first jobs, we're getting our feet wet, we're starting to get real money, we're starting to get health insurance and all that good stuff, you're starting to really branch out onto your own, always remember to tell the truth. Amen? It's God's keys to success. The second key God tells Joshua is not only should the book of the law not depart from your mouth, but he says you shall meditate in it day and night. One of the things that I've had a problem with over the summer is finding my boys, in my estimation, not having anything to do. Because I'm so used to them being in school, and when you're in school, there's what? There's always homework, right? There's always something that needs to be done, a homework assignment, a project. Well, the project may not be due this week. It may be due in 3 weeks, but you need to be working on it now, right? So you're not up at the last minute trying to pull off a miracle, right? And so there's always homework. And so one of the keys that God gives us for success is that we should meditate in the Word of God day and night. So whether it's summertime, vacation time, whether it's school time, work time, whatever time it is, all of us need to be reminded that we have work to do. Amen. And the work that God requires, the work that guarantees success, is that we meditate in the Word of God day and night. Amen. You're familiar with Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, right? But what? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he does what? My real church finally came. It took them a while to get here, but they finally came to church one Sunday. Why? Because in his law, but in the law of the Lord, he meditates day and why would he meditate day and night in the law of the Lord? He understood that is one of the keys God has given him to success. It also helps us, going back to key one, if we're going to speak the truth at all times, Matthew 12:34 tells us, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Okay? And one of the ways that we purify our mouth and help us to ensure to speak the truth is we fill our heart with God's word. Amen? Fill our heart with God's words, right? Because the only thing that comes out is what? Is what you what? Is what you put in. Amen. So if you put in God's word, if you put in the truth, amen, what'll come out of you will also be true. Amen. Let me help you with this. A lot of times folks will come and after offense, they will come and say to you, I'm sorry for what I said. And this is where they get in trouble. Because when they say this, they lie. I really didn't mean it. Right? I'm going to tell you something. Most people won't tell you this, but because I'm your pastor, I'm going to tell you. They did mean it. Why? Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart. They didn't lie. They told you the truth. What they said is really what they're upset about, what they're apologizing about, is the harm it has caused you. That's what they're sorry about. That's what they apologize. But they meant what they said, right? And so if we want to avoid that being our case, we have to fill our heart with God's word so that what? We can speak the truth at all times. Amen? And in so doing, we can utilize the keys God has given us to ensure what? Our success. Amen? Look at your neighbor and ask him, do you have the keys? All right? He's given them to you. They're in the Word of God. Keep going there. In verse 8, it says, and that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Okay? We know this. The Word of God tells us to be what? Not hearers only, right? But to also be what? Doers of the Word of God. It's not enough just to hear it. It's not enough just to take it in.
But now we have to apply it or put it in to action. 1 John 5:3 tells us, for this is the love of God, that what? That we keep his commandments, right? And his commandments are not burdensome. Okay? All right, now I messed up with somebody else. Okay? You can't come with this one anymore. Oh, it's too hard to live right. It's too hard to be a Christian. Oh, it's too much to live for Jesus. Now, this is you and God now. Here it is, 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God. All right, y'all don't believe me. Turn there. I was going to let you off. Everybody turn there. You got your Bible, 1 John 5:3. Give you a clue. It's near Revelation. So you don't have to start in Genesis and Exodus, the other end of the book. Get you there faster. You have it, 1 John, right? 1st, 2nd, 3rd. Now, 1 John 5:3. And if you're there, you see what it says. For this is the love of God, or this is the evidence that one loves God, right? Is what? That we keep his commandments, right? What? Do what he says, right? Now, watch this. This is where I'm going to mess you up. And his commandments, the word of God, what? Are not burdensome. Okay? So I just messed you up. You cannot come now and say it's too hard. Right? Because now look, it's you and God now. I'm out of it. My job is to deliver the message. I'm out of it. Now you got to live with 1 John 5:3. If you're saying it's too hard, then somebody between you and God is lying. Either God's lying or you lying. But somebody doing some lying somewhere. Amen? If you got it, say, I got it. At the end of the day, he just wants us to obey. We used to sing a song. Oh, I love Sister Reed is here. One of the old church songs we used to sing growing up when we were really young. Simple what? Trust and obey. For there's what? No other way to be happy in Jesus but to what? Trust and obey. Isaiah 1:19 adds to the witness, says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. You know what that eat the good of the land means? What it stands for? Goodly success. That's all. He's saying if you are willing and obedient, God said you're going to have good success. Am I right about it? Good. So those are the first three keys. And if you do those first three keys, what he tells us now in this latter part of verse 8, here are the results, right? Here are the results of following God's keys to success. And I want you to get this, the conclusion in verse 8. It says, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Right? You see it there? You read it? You got it? Now raise your hand if you believe that. Okay? If you follow these keys, you will have good success. And here's something I want you to understand in this passage. It says, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And that closing refrain, you don't hear anything about God. It does not say, for then he will make your way. Are you reading this? You got to read it out your own Bible. Because if I'm not saying it right, you got to correct me. The word of God says, if you do these things, he's giving them the keys. He says, for then you will make your way. Right? Prosperous. And then you will have good success. No mention of God's name. Right? Because now the responsibility is out. So the only question to ask is whether or not you want to have good success. And if you do, God says, I have given you the keys. It's yours. If you want it, there it is. You'll have good success. Right? All you got to do is keep the word, the book of the law, which for us is the Bible, the scriptures. Keep that in your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Make sure you commit to doing it. The results are guaranteed. You will have good success. Right? I'm going to tell you something. I found this to be true. Even if a person has not accepted Christ as their personal Savior, but they follow the principles of God's Word, God will still bless them. I found it to be true. They're not saved. Don't go to church. But somewhere along life's journey, they were taught the principles, what we're calling here today, keys. The principles of God, the foundation of the Word of God stands sure. And even if a sinner or a scoundrel will do them, God still honors His Word. That's why you see a lot of people who have success, right, who are not Christian, right? But if they have understood the principles, been taught them, and now they incorporated them, and they can have success in this life. How much more for us that are the children of God, right? If we do the principles of God and apply those keys to our life, not only will it ensure success, right, just based on the principle operating, but now since we are the children of God, how much more now will our Father add on top of, I wish I had a real church, right? You do this stuff, you get that just on a matter of principle because His Word works. Now, if you do this and your heart has been given over to Christ Jesus, how much more, right? The Word of God says your fathers are evil, yet they know how to give good gifts. How much more then will the Father of lights, are you with me? All right, I got to keep it moving. Here it is. Let's go to verse 9. Add a couple more keys, then we're done with it. He says, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Be strong. Key number 4, if you want to have success, be strong and of good courage. Part of being strong and of good courage means trusting in the Lord as your true sense source of strength. Okay, now he's getting believer specific. Keys 1, 2, and 3, they work, you know, they just principle. They're going to work in your life whether you go to church or not, whether you accept Christ or not. Now, keys 4 and 5, you got to be a believer, right? Because now you got to be strong and of good courage. Part of being strong and having good courage means trusting in the Lord as your true source of strength. Recognizing I'm not doing this on my own or by myself. But I got what? I got help. Look at somebody and tell them I got help. I'm not in the battle alone. I got help. You may not see, recognize, or know the help I have. Tell them again, I got help. Right? My Bible said the Lord is a what? So my church came and left early. I'm still preaching. They done tiptoed out. Good night. We done cut the service down already, Sister Lee. I thought they'd at least stay until I got, well, the Lord help us. Here it is. In Joshua's case, he didn't have all the answers for the challenges before him, but he was counseled to go forward anyway and act in faith. Right? That's better. Let me read it again. Y'all need to react better. I'm saying something here. In Joshua's case, he didn't have all the answers for the challenges. How in the world am I going to get these 3, 4, 5 million people across this Jordan and into the promised land? And then here's something that is nearly impossible to do. Not only do I got to get them over the river and into the promised land, then I got to divide the money. I wish I need my other church. This kind of y'all foolish. I need my other church. Yeah, you can't divide. Try to divide some money among your family and see what happens. You will pray more, fast longer. You'll meditate on His word day and night. Then you will, right? Right, right. Everything's cool and cold until you got to start dividing up. He got to get them over there and then divide up all of this inheritance. God made him the executor. Say, whatever they get is going to be what you say they shall have. Read what happened to him. It wasn't the Hittites, the Jebusites that caused them consternation. It was what? His own 12 tribes. Well, whatever. Y'all read it. It'll be in there for you. All right. So he says, be strong and of good courage. Help me preach. Tell somebody, be strong and of good courage. Here it is. And do not be afraid nor dismayed. The whole courage thing, I got it. Be strong and I'm good. One, I got it here in verse 8 because this is about the third time he done said it. Remember what we read, verses 1. We flowed it down. He done told them twice already. Be strong and I got it. You know, the third time's the charm. But this is new information now on this one. He says, do not be afraid. This is the fifth key. Nor dismayed. Always pay attention to words you don't understand. Because if you can unlock them, you unlock the whole passage. We're celebrating scholars and those doing well, scholarship and all that stuff. Listen, don't take the easy road. The easy road is what? I don't understand what it means. I do understand what afraid means. I'll just work with that. If all he wanted you to work with was being afraid, that's all he would have said. But he said, do not be afraid, fearful, nor dismayed. Right? Dismayed means the feeling of having distress or anxiety. Am I speaking to anybody? Whether you're school age or not. It means feeling distressed or having anxiety. Right? Whether it's over a geometry test, right? Right? Or something else in life, right? You can feel distress or anxiety. So it means to have a feeling of distress or anxiety, typically about something unexpected. Raise your hand if you've ever encountered an unexpected problem. At least the problems that are expected, you know about it. You see it coming. You can prepare for, even if you can't fix it or handle it, you at least know my tire's flat. So you ain't got to go outside and be like, oh man, no, it was flat last night. I rode on the rim home. So when I get up this morning, I know it's what it's still. I know about that problem, right? But it's when you get in there and you find out now what? Something else has gone wrong. So now this feeling of being dismayed is now I'm feeling anxiety or distress because something unexpected has happened, right? God is speaking with tenderness here to Joshua, and he's telling him not to look around as one might do in danger or in a state of alarm. He said, look, don't be afraid, right? The Bible tells us what? He has not given us what? A spirit of what? Okay, my church is back. Good, good. Welcome back. Thanks for coming back, God. He's not giving us a spirit of fear, right? Right, but we've got a sound mind. And he's also said, look, do not be dismayed. We don't have, the word of God says, be anxious for. But in everything, what? Give what? Give thanks unto God, right? We don't have to be anxious. We don't have to have anxiety. We don't have to be dismayed. Why? Because if you go forward in this life, you will encounter unexpected problems. Okay? Now, regardless, if you leave here, you got to say, I just helped you. Because the majority of people want you to think or believe that if you go forward, life is going to be a bed of roses. Everything is going to turn up aces. You're going to have the Midas touch. Everything you touch is going to turn to gold. And everything's going to work out in your favor. Everybody's going to like you. Everybody's going to invite you into their little group, their little quick. Everybody's going to like you on Facebook or Gram or wherever you do your social media. But that's not true, right? I mean, raise your hand if you know it's not true. Right? So we don't have to be dismayed when it's courage. Now, the courage I got, the do not fear and do not dismay. Like I said, I was worried about it until I worked this dismayed out. But when I worked it out saying, okay, I don't have to be afraid of unexpected trouble. I've already know he's given me success. He said, go into the land is yours because I already promised it to Moses. You follow these keys, you're going to have success. But I don't want you to be dismayed, unexpected trouble. Right. And so in what I had already read, I had a hard time going back and trying to tie it. So then I kept on reading. And then when I kept on reading, I got the answer to the dismayed part. You're reading it. Verse 9 is the punchline to the whole sermon, right? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Right. So you don't have to be afraid, right? You don't have to have feelings of anxiety or trepidation, even if it's unexpected. Why? Your help is with you. Watch this. You may not know what to do, but help me preach it. God knows exactly what to do. And if you would just trust him and take him at his word, I wish I had my real church, right? He'll surely carry you through. So the stuff that you do know, thank God for the wisdom. And for the stuff you don't know, thank God for his what? His presence. Because he closed it out to Joshua and said, for the Lord, watch this, your God, right? So now, this excludes all sinners. Principles 1-3 work for everybody. But 4 and 5 only work for the children of God. Raise your hand and say, I'm a son of God. Raise your hand and say, I'm a daughter of God. So 4 and 5 apply only to me. And right, if I just have good courage, and if I refuse to become fearful or dismayed, then I know that the Lord, my God, is with me. Now, this is what I love. You may not like it, but I love it. Wherever you go, this blessing travels. I wish I had a real church. This blessing travels. Wherever you go in this world, God has promised to go with you. So his blessing is not limited to you living your life in the Philadelphia area, confining your aspirations to West Philadelphia, or limiting your hopes to just the Delaware Valley. But if you use the keys God has given you, these keys will work for you wherever you go. So if you want to start your career out on the West Coast, look at somebody and tell them, go ahead and go. If you want to major in international finance, look at somebody and say, go ahead and study it. Because the keys that God gives works in this country, works in other countries. The keys that God gives works on this side of the sea as well as the other side of the sea. The keys that God gives you, They'll work anywhere you go. The keys that God gives you will work no matter whatever you do, whatever you want to become. Use the keys that God has give it you. Somebody give God a praise right now. Touch three people and tell them, do you got God's keys? Do you have the keys? Do you have the keys? Your success is guaranteed. Just use the keys that God has given you. Say yes. He has promised you that you'll prosper wherever you go, and wherever you go in this world, he's promised you will have good success. Not because you're so smart, not because of where you went to school, not because of who you know, but because of who has come along with you. God told Joshua, don't be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This blessing travels. So set your sights high and set your goals far. Because with our God, nothing is impossible. The Philippian writer says it like this, and I'm closing out on this, and I'll get out of here if you really help me. Help me, and this is what I want you to do. Everybody, use your good preaching voice. Raise your hand if you got a good preaching voice. All right, all of a sudden, nobody want to be a preacher. Every time I walk up the hallway, I hear somebody preaching. But now that the light's on you, nobody want to be a preacher. All right, I'm not going to blow your car. If you got a good preaching voice, great. If you don't, borrow one. This is what he said. Here it is. Use your good preaching voice. Repeat after me. The Philippian writer said, I can do all things. Come on, get your preaching voice. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And now if you believe it, give the Lord the best praise you can give him. If you want his blessing to travel, give him the best praise. Give him your best praise. If you want to have godly success, give him your best praise. If he's your help, give your help the best praise you can. Come on, young people. Where are all my young people? Give the Lord the best praise. It'll work in elementary. It'll work in middle school. It'll work in high school. The keys work when you go to college. The keys work when you start your first job. The keys work wherever, where.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we thank you for that word. Now, if there's anyone in the sanctuary or who is online that has said, you know, I heard the pastor preach about those ladder keys. How do I become saved? God shows us the way. He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, means you confess that you are a sinner. And being a sinner just means you have been disobedient to the word of God. Not all the stuff that they tell you out in the streets with condemnation, all other stuff. You've been disobedient to the word of God. And you want to know more. And so you confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God hath raised him from the dead. Meaning that Jesus died for our sins and God has resurrected them. So if you are seeking salvation, if you want to have a greater understanding of the word of God, reach out to us, reach out to myself, Reverend Lyons, Deaconess Kim, there are others here in the church, and we will gladly sit down with you and explain to you what it means to be saved. Amen? Amen. Because we're about having make sure the word goes out, but that those who want to seek salvation, a greater relationship with the Lord, amen? For those of you that are online, you can go to our website. Just hit the button for contact us. Go to www.taylortabernacle.com and we will talk to you and help you that you may begin your walk with the Lord. Amen? Amen. 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 I'm now going to transition to the next part of our service. Let's see. Let's make sure we give a nice roar so the pastor knows that his church is here. It's offering time. Everybody at home, I hope you're cheering as well. We're going to have our sister Logan Lyons come up, and we are going to do our church offering. Amen. Amen. She's on her way. Amen.
Good morning, Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through three ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, or also by using the U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code Taylor61 to phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door, one for your tithes offering and one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the basket as you exit the sanctuary. As always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry.
Amen. 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 So, with your offering, you've been given the instructions. Now, before we move to the Celeste Scholarships, we have one more portion of the service that we want to cover, and that is we are going to have our announcements by our sister Isabella Davis. As she would come forward, she's going to give us our announcements, and then we will do the Celeste.
Good morning, Taylor Tabernacle. When you decide to join us for in-person worship, please take your temperature before leaving home. Bring a mask to wear if you or someone in your family had contact with anyone who has had COVID-19, we encourage you to please stay home. Pastor will be teaching Bible study for the month of July. He is asking everyone to purchase the 40-day Sugar Fast by Wendy Speck. It is up to you if you follow the book, but he will be teaching biblically from the book, and you will need the book to follow. It has been about 2 years, and we are updating our membership directory. If you have moved or changed email addresses, home phone numbers, or cell phone numbers, please email the church your new information to info@taylortabernacle.com. You may also use our offering envelope to call the church line and leave a message. If you are here at the church, please see our sister Barbara Williams following service. We would like to complete this in the next week or two, so please let us know if any changes as soon as possible. Thanks in advance for your help in completing this task.
Amen. 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 So, as many of you know, those who are here in the sanctuary and those who have been watching online, every year we have the Celeste Williams Scholarship, and it's where we honor the young folks in our church for their achievements, not only in school, but some of the things they've done for us in this church. Amen. Amen. As the scripture we read in the beginning says, train up on a child in the way they should go. What we're honoring today is some of those who have taken that training and they've gone even further with it. Amen. And we want to make sure we acknowledge them for what they have done. Amen. Amen. So can we say hallelujah? Hallelujah. 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 I know it's hot and humid, but there are worse places to be, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because you know what these scholarships acknowledge when it comes to work, when it comes to school? It's acknowledging someone who's making an effort every day. Right? We all have days where there are ups or downs, but the acknowledgement is that they've done something every day. Amen? Amen. Amen. With that, I've got a lovely assistant today, too. So we're going to go through the names, and our sister Christine, I guess we'll be handing them out, but let me go through the first one I have, and this is for Sister Zoe. Amen. Zoe, how do you pronounce your last name? That's not what it says here. That's what it threw me off. Amen. 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 But she's been very active in helping with our garden in the back. For those of you that don't know, the whole backyard has been reworked. Amen. There's gardens out there. There's trellises, etc. And she's been actively involved, so we have a gift card for her. Amen. 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 Can we acknowledge that? Amen. 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 The next is also for a young man, and he's not here, but I'm sure he's watching. He is here. Where'd he go? I didn't see him. Where's Brother Bryson? Amen. Amen. I'm sorry. Couldn't see him back there. He's behind the pillar. This young man continually works in this church. When we need something done, he comes, he helps out, and he walks home. So he makes an effort, and he walks to church. So we want to acknowledge him. That's the responsible individual. Amen. 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 Now we're going to go, amen, amen, to some individuals who are receiving this scholarship. As was discussed in the beginning, there are those that we look at their grade levels. There are two different tiers. There's the 85 to 95% and then the 95 and above. And every year our committee goes through, we take the applications in. We look at the individual's grades. We look at their participation in the church.
We actually have some spirited discussions. There's several people on this committee. I would say there's a good 6 or 7 people, people that you may not expect, but they look over this and we're quite proud. Amen? Amen. The first individual, I guess this is almost like doing Oscars where you say, this individual is not here, so accepting on behalf of this individual or he, her father, Todd McCoy. This is my daughter, Kennedy. Amen. Amen. So she has done very well in school. We are trying to get her more and more involved in church activities, and that's all I'll say, but she'll be happy to get her certificate. Amen. 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 The next individual. Uh-oh, we got a proud papa coming up. Now we have our Jacob Ford. I'm going to say Jordan. Jordan's going on. Our Jacob Ford. Where is Jacob? Now, Jacob, here we go. And Jacob has an A average. Amen. You're free. Thank you. Now, our next individual is another individual with an A average. Amen. An A average. Our brother Gabriel Curitan. Go ahead. This is a young lady. Remember how we talked about we have the 85 level, we have the B average, and we have the A averages, but even the B average is a good B average. Amen. Amen. This young lady has already come up once today, and she gets to come up again. Our sister Isabella. She disappeared? Oh, okay. Amen. She stepped away. She figured she did her job, so she stepped away. Oh, there we go. There we go. Our next recipient has an A average. It's an impressive young man that seems to grow like 2 inches every other day. It's our brother Jackson Ford. Now we're looking at an individual who has an A-plus average. Impressive. It's our brother, Joshua Curitan. Another individual with an A average, and has been up here earlier today as well, our sister Logan Lyon. And now we're coming to, I'm going to say the creme de la creme, not because they're better than anybody, but because this is it. They're moving on. Amen? Amen. They're moving on to the next level. Our first is our sister Jessica Lyons with her A-plus average, her AP in her honors classes, her high school graduation. She's moving on. Amen. Amen. So she is a summa cum laude graduate. Amen. Amen. And the next individual also, he is moving on, as our brother John M. Curitan with his A plus average. He's graduating cum laude. Amen.
He again honors in AP classes. Amen. 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 So let's honor everybody who has received something today. Amen. Amen. Because there is a next part we're getting ready to go to, which is, if you will recall, when we did the applications this year, we asked young folks to design their service. Amen. Something like that. Oh. Mm-hmm. So with the individuals, we asked them to design their own service. Amen. And for the applicants, they wrote up something. They were very impressive. Amen. Amen. Unfortunately, we don't have time to read them all, but we do have a select two that we want to have read to you this day. Amen. Amen. And what we want, the pastors always wanted a way to reach out to young folks. So, hey, what better way than let's see what the young folks want to do with their service. Amen. So I'm going to bring back up those two creme de la cremes. Again, not because they're better, but because we're having them read their essay. And they have been involved in this church since they were little. They are now graduating, going off to college. Amen. Amen. So let's bring up, shall we do ladies first or should we do gentlemen first? Ladies first. Amen. I didn't know Jess wanted to step up last, but we'll let her step up first. Amen. Amen. I'm going to bring up our sister Jessica Lyons. Amen. Can we give her a hand? I know you're going to give her a hand after. Let's give her a hand before.
Good morning, everyone. So mine was titled The Reflective Church Service. Standing at the timeless glass pane altar in as much time as he needed, my captivating and favorite lifelong pastor, Jonathan E. Ford, delivers yet another touching sermon. It's how I would answer the question if the pastor were directly in front of me. But with the alluded time given and freedom to do as I wish, I've really taken the time to think about what my ideal church service would look like. To open up the service, I would like everyone to walk in praying, no matter how early and no matter how late, until service is ready to begin, followed by a scripture reading or word of encouragement, and then the musical performances. As someone who was introduced to the church at infancy, I've become normalized to the traditions performed at Taylor Tabernacle. Yet over the years, I've been able to experience the tradition of others, one of the biggest being the singing of old hymns. Having done so, I was not particularly a large fan of the older church hymns, believing that if a church was singing them, the rest of the church service just had to be boring. Yet, I couldn't have been more wrong. I realized that much like me, many people, especially younger folks, judge the church experience on this very aspect, never giving the rest of the service any of their attention or a chance to reach their spirits. Therefore, in my church service, I would have some sort of musical performance performed by each generation, allowing for each to not only express their connection to God in the way they personally know best, but open their hearts to a new form of worship, as well as creating an open learning experience for our youth, adults, and elders. My ideal church service is all about incorporating all members of the church and always ushering in new members. I would have a cycle of different preachers each Sunday, allowing each Sunday to be open to a different voice to be heard by the congregation. The given preacher is appointed 45 minutes to deliver the word and 15 minutes for the congregation to dive deeper into the word by asking any questions pertaining to the sermon. As far as the decoration goes, and as far as my imagination has run, I envision glass walls to surround the church building. My idea for glass walls originated from James 1:23-24. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. The glass mentioned in the scripture talks of the true reflection of our behavior and personality. God hopes that after discovering this aspect of ourselves, we will then not only hear but perform upon what we are taught. Therefore, the glass walls allow for those within to see their true selves and strive to reach God's desires. For the conclusion of the service, I want to heavily focus on fellowship. Having a big prayer with all eyes closed, heads bowed, and hands clasped with no shoulder or hand untouched by another, I would then ask the preacher to perform a benediction and for a meet and greet of all to commence. After discovering the definition of what a church service is, I realized why many of us use the term, I am ready to have church. Because because church was never about the building in which we would worship, but the simple embodiment of all our faith that is uplifted through fellowship and hope, and a means to worship the Father in which such faith derives. The objective of my church service is for the congregation to praise God as if the walls are non-existent, to realize that no limitations exist to how much we can show gratitude to our Lord, to not be afraid for others to see us at our weakest points in life and not be jealous of those who are reaching their strongest points in life, and to eliminate the fear of being vulnerable, thus allowing the people to open up their hearts and minds to show reverence with no blockades, no barriers, just as God had intended, so that he can one day open up our souls to the endless possibilities of who we are meant to be.
Amen. 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 And just one quick thing. If you ever pay attention, the word always confirms itself. Did you just hear the sermon and hear what was right here? It was the word confirming itself. Amen. Amen. Next, we're going to bring up our brother John Mitchell Curitan.
Good morning. My essay is titled Graduating in Christ. Annually in the months of May and June, millions of students from 8th grade, high school, and college celebrate their graduation. Graduation, as defined by Merriam-Webster, is the award or acceptance of an academic degree or diploma. However, this momentous occasion is much more than one simple definition. It is not only a time to celebrate all of one's past achievements and accolades which contributed to the diploma, but it also serves as a turning point in one's life, as a gate to move on to the next phase of one's life journey, whether it's to high school, college, or a career path. If the pastor asked me to design a Sunday service, I would like to apply the same concept of graduation right in the sanctuary. To begin, the church would be decorated with plenty of balloons, confetti, and streamers adorned with the church colors. Furthermore, everyone in the congregation would receive a graduation cap to be worn on their head. As they walk in, the band will be playing upbeat gospel music to get everyone in a good mood. When the service officially begins, the liturgist would set the atmosphere, tell some jokes, and pray. And then someone would come up to read scripture, which would be Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then the service would transition into praise and worship. The worship team would sing songs such as I Made It by the Canton Spirituals or You Are Good by Israel Houghton, which each talk about how it is not only through God's goodness that we can make it through this far. After praise and worship, service would transition into the preacher's hands. The preacher's topic would be graduating in Christ. And using the story of Paul, they would demonstrate how important it is to be saved and parallel the idea with graduation with salvation. After a praise break or two, the service would transition into altar call. This altar call will serve as a chance for anyone who desires prayer or salvation. And after prayer has concluded, the preacher will call for the congregation to officially move the tassel on their cap from the right side to the left side. Just as graduation represents moving in life academically, graduation in Christ or salvation represents moving on in life spiritually. And just like graduation calls for a celebration, graduating in Christ requires a celebration as well. After weekly announcements, offering, and the benediction, there will be a cookout outside with food and games, celebrating everyone and their spiritual decisions. This service, including the cookout, will be about 2.5 hours long, which gives people enough time to enjoy the rest of their day. The goal of this service is to emphasize the need for salvation in the church in a unique and fun manner. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Cook out every week? Amen. Amen. I'm now going to yield the floor to one of the leaders of our YLE, our Reverend Norman Lyons. He's going to acknowledge our graduates. Amen. Deaconess Elena Weiss is going to be joining him.
Thank you. Right. I'm just going to talk a little bit about the graduates. When I first came here to Taylor, I actually had Jessica, Josh, and Caleb the whole time. So I guess that's about 10 years I had them. So I actually seen them grow not only spiritually, but as a teacher, I seen them grow naturally. And it taught me so much just working with each one of them. Caleb, he just would bring so much knowledge to the classroom of what he knew in Christ. And that just like made me study. John, he had a lot of questions. He had a lot of input, and Jessica as well. And so they made me study. They made me really study and learn my Bible even more. And so I remember when I was growing up and I was getting ready to go off to college, someone wrote in a card that I had a scripture, and it was Proverbs 16:3. And so I first focused on 3 as I was trying to think of something what to say, and I was like kind of all over the place. So I was just told, as God leads me, just to say. So as I looked at Proverbs, I had to go back to 1. And it says, the preparations of the heart of the man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. And 2 says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. And the 3rd one says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So today I say to you guys, commit your ways to the Lord, and he will establish your ways.
All right. Thank you, Sister Helena. Amen. That's one thing that's true and evident, that while we were all working with Young Life, the level that our students applied themselves caused all of us to dig deeper. You know, you had to come prepared, especially with kids. I guess I was the only, you know, preacher up here after a while. And it is different speaking to a congregation where you think they know the word or you're trying to teach, but in the classroom and they're right across the table from you and they ask you that question. Well, why is that? And why would God do, you know, something like so obscure? And you're like, okay. Let me study and get back to you, you know. But we came. You had to. We came because they brought the questions. And I don't know whether it's from being in here to our openness that they felt comfortable in asking the questions. And I'm glad for that. I thank God for that. So I just want to tell you all the graduates and all our students and Christina. I hope you paid attention to the sermon, because that's all I would leave you with, exactly what he said, so I don't even have to repeat. Because now you're going on an adventure to do something you think you're not equipped to do. I know I thought I wasn't, but all these people we got, all these teachers, Sister Kim, Helena, Todd, Cassandra, everybody formed together to gel, and it benefited our kids. It just overflowed from us to all of them. Same's going to go for you. You keep focused, be of good courage, don't be afraid, and know that wherever you go, God's going to be with you. You know, I think if we can all remember that, thank you, Pastor, for that. All right. I'm not going to believe the hour. So, we got a little extra special card for them. So first, I want to acknowledge and remember, because Caleb is not here. So I want to, is his father still here? Okay. So we have a little special something. For Mr. Caleb Abrams, yes.
one of our graduates. And I can't tell you how proud I am of the graduates. Not only that they graduated, they made it with school, and they made it through school with high honors. And I'm not just saying that because, you know, it's one of mine, but John Mitchell is mine too. Caleb is mine too. Hezzy is yours. They all graduated with flying colors. And not only did they do that, so think about this, you in your job, whatever, they all did it bringing God with them. Or has the scripture said today, God is with you wherever you go. They didn't let anybody forget that. All right. John Mitchell, come on up here and grab this. I know they mentioned it, but they tell you summa cum laude. Did I say it right? Yeah. So when Jessica told me she was summa cum laude, that was her name for like a week. I'm sorry, proud papa here. Jessica Lyons. Thank you. All right. So I just want to remind you, take God with you wherever you go. And you can't go wrong. Can't go wrong. And Christina, keep it up. Don't be afraid. Look, I know you're not afraid, but assist it. Don't be afraid. All right? Oh, stand up, y'all two. I got to tell the whole church before I go. This is the future of Wiley. All right.
Amen. What I was telling Reverend Lyons is tell him on the TV. So for those of you who are online, Brother Khalil and Sister Christina, that's what he's talking about. They are the future. And Sister Christina is going to give an announcement, and then after she gives her announcement, the next voice you will hear will be our pastor.
Good morning, church. So next week, directly after service at 2 p.m., we will be having a Joy Day service. We're bringing in performers from other churches. We're also bringing in other talents to do singing, poems, different types of music, just to bring worship and praise to God and our Father. So please get the word out to all of the community, to your friends, your family, and make sure everybody comes into the sanctuary next Sunday at 2 p.m., we will have visitors, and it's going to be a good service. So I'm excited about it. Next, we'll have benediction from our pastor.
So one, let's give all of our kids a hand. What a wonderful job. Wonderful job. Wonderful, wonderful job. Yeah. Shall we all stand? Just so we're all on the same page, we're using this moment to transition. First and foremost, I want to say thank you to Reverend Lyons and to Deaconess Kamala Lyons, who have led our Young Life Experience, which is our youth ministry, for close to 10 years for these past year. And we just want to thank them for their incredible service. Our youth ministry has transformed over those last 10 years. And so we want to thank them for their leadership. And we also want to thank God, even as our sermon today, we looked at the transition from Moses to Joshua. So we are transitioning today as we look at our outgoing leaders, Norm and Kim, to our incoming leaders. and that being Brother Khalil McFarland and Christina Rook. And we thank God for them. Amen. So even as God with Norm and Kim and all the changes that they implemented and all the young people that came through, so will God be with Brother Khalil and Sister Christina. And not only will God be with them, let's give them this big surprise. We will be with them. They didn't know about that. They didn't count on that. They were hoping that God, but they didn't know that we were going to be with them. And we thank God for them. So we have a youth ministry going forward, which will be led by young people. And not only are Christina and Khalil be at the helm, but I'm so grateful that all of our young adults will be supporting them and this next generation of young people that are coming up. Amen. We've got babies in the house. We've got young people. And so all of our young adults, they're going to be in. So they didn't know that we, the adults and seniors, were going to be with them. But also all of our young adults are going to be with them. And more importantly, with this next generation of young people coming through. And so we're thankful for them as well. What creative minds young people have. It's one of the things you lose as you get older. You lose your creativity. We just begin to utilize less of that side of our brain. But the young people say they're popping. And their minds are creative. The first thing we ever learn about our God when we open the book is that what? He's creator. Isn't that what the book said? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, he did what? Create. Nothing was there. Just in his mind, he started seeing it. He started calling it out. But it was born out of his creative spirit. That spirit, that creative element of God is in us via the Holy Spirit. That creative element, it's in all of us. And so I'm so grateful for our young people utilizing that creative spirit. And I'm going to tell them what I told the youth leaders. We're going to do it. Okay? So if you come in here one Sunday and get hit by balloons in your face, don't blame me. If someone throw confetti and it go in your mouth, do not blame me. Get John's cell phone and call him and blame him for it. But we are going to do it. We're going to put it in motion, and we're going to allow the young people to lead us into this next move of God. Amen. So we thank God for them. Thank God for them. They wanted me to announce in closing for our offering. So many of you are giving online. Thank you for doing that. But for those of you who want to give your offering here today in person, we do have two offering plates over here to the left for your offering for the church as well as for the speaker's offering. I am going to ask you to remember the Celeste Williams Scholarship Fund. That is one of the drop downs as you give. As more and more of these young people achieve and reach high marks, we're going to continue to support them financially. And so your giving allows us to do that. Amen. Just going to say this, and then we're going to go into the prayer. I'm going to ask my wife to come and join me after service. After the conclusion of the service, we are going to take pictures with all of the kids, the graduates, all that. We didn't exclude that, but we just didn't want to hold the program on air for that. So after the benediction, my wife and I will be here. Hopefully by then I'll stop sweating. And we can take some pictures. So we're going to have the benediction, but what we're going to do is we're going to pray for our young people. As you heard, now they didn't mention it, but I want to say it. So John Mitchell is going on to Princeton University. Thank God for him. Jessica Lyons is going on to St. Joe's University. Thank God. I thought it was St. Joe's. I thought. But didn't they merge and become? All right. What is it?
University of the Sciences.
University of the Sciences. I'm all confused. Now you see why I don't work on the Celeste Williams Scholarship Fund. They were like, yeah, everybody can be on except the pastor. Everybody, yeah, he needs to do something else. And then we also thank God for Caleb, who was already matriculating at MIT. Amen. So they've gone on. They've done it. They're doing it. They're doing it big. And so thank God for all of them and where they're going. I also want to make mention, I'm so glad he's here today, but also, let me make sure I say it, Adrian Bratt, am I saying it right? Aiden Bratt, am I saying it right, Aiden? Aiden Bratt, he's going on and he's going into our, military service. Amen. He's on his way to join our armed forces for our country. And we thank God for his commitment to protect and serve. And so even as he is going on, our young people are going on to college. Our younger ones are moving up. Thank God for those that are going into the service both nationally and locally. Our fire and our police departments. Thank God for young people going there and committing to protect and serve. And so as we close today and give this benediction, I really want to use it as an opportunity, if you would lend me your voices, to pray for our young people, that they would take heed to the message and take the keys with them, right? Because we said what? This blessing travels. He's going out to Oklahoma. Some's going to Princeton, New Jersey. Some are up in Cambridge, Mass. Some will be in the Philadelphia region. Doesn't matter. The blessings of the Lord travel. And he'll be with you wherever you go. And so our Father, which art in heaven, whose name is holy, hallelujah be to your name. Thank you for these young arrows that you have placed in our quiver, both as parents and as spiritual leaders. God, we shoot them now. We put them in the bow of the Holy Spirit and we launch them forward into the things of God. We launch them forward into your plan, your purpose, your future and your hope for them. Go with them. Be true to your word. Honor your word in your life. Go with them wherever they go and whatever they do. Bless them, Lord. Keep them safe. Cover them under your blood. Cause your right arm to be their protection. Cause your blood to be over their banner, over their head, over their side. Protect them. Give them victory wherever their feet may take them. Cause your blood, cause your word to reminisce in their heart. Let them meditate on it day and night. Cause your word to be in their heart. Cause your word to be uttered out of their mouth. These are your kids. These are the children of God. This is the inheritance that you promised us. So we pray for them. The hand of the Lord be upon you now. May the fresh oil of God be poured out on your head even now. You're covered by the anointing of God. You're covered by the word of God. And you are filled with the presence of God. So be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Lord Jesus, we give you praise, honor, and all thanksgiving. People of God everywhere, give the Lord your best praise. Your best praise, your best praise, your best praise. You're dismissed. God bless you. Thank you for coming. We'll see you next Sunday for communion.